Hi, everyone. I think my volume, there you go.
Can you hear us, Grace?
Yes.
Cool.
I can, thank you. I think we need to just cancel music, you know, like silent filler or something.
Good idea. you could just entertain us, great.
What about your voice?
I don't know. Gossip. Sing.
Exactly. As people come in, you know, you just sort of play. Do we have a music major in our mid-tier? Maybe they can craft something for us.
We should have tasked Mark Reynolds to do a staff council theme song before he left.
Before he left, I know. There's something about, like, unfilled silence, you know?
Knowing Mark, I bet he'd do it for us, even though he's retired.
I'm sure.
Might. I'm going to text him right now.
He probably has a lot more time on his hands than he had before, so he can't say no. Tell him we're all asking. Amy, how's the Board of Regents? I wanted to go, but I couldn't. So I just...
No, it was 3 hours, right? On a random Tuesday.
Oh, my gosh. I couldn't go either. I'm training new students to do new things.
That's crazy.
They are so...
It, I think it was very
they're
good.
So long.
They are.
Amy did great with her report. She was very well-spoken and did a great job representing staff council to the Board of Regents and everyone else there. So
that's very nice of you, Amy. Thank you.
I used to just go for like the president's administrative report, you know, which was right at the beginning, you know, as soon as she's done, I just leave. But, you know, I should probably attend some of these things anyway.
I mean, I don't want to, like, completely blow my president's report, but the university president's administrative report was, I thought, real positive.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to go ahead and start call to order. Go ahead and do the roll call.
Okay. Hello, everybody. I'll just get right into it. Thank you for the wait. Councillor Arocha? Beecham?
Here.
Begay? Bunko Silva? Lorena, are you here today? Boss?
Present.
Chavez? Cushing?
Here.
Desai?
Here.
Faustino?
Here.
Fisher?
Present.
Forsyth?
Good timing. I'm here.
Cool. Gallegos?
Here.
Thank you, Gilbert. Gouch? Henley?
Here.
Jones?
Here.
Kavka? Lane?
Here.
Lionbarger?
Present.
Lopez? Luna?
Present.
Martinez? McCade Kelly?
Present.
McQuarrie?
Present.
Montoya?
Present.
Murillo?
Here.
Olay?
Here.
Ortiz?
Here.
Fizz? Rios?
Present.
Great, thank you, Javier. Roberts? Robinson? Rucker? Satyestua?
Here.
Sandoval? Sawyer?
Here.
Shasky?
Here.
Sloan?
Here.
Smith? Stanton?
Here.
Stoddard?
Present.
Terrell?
Here.
Thomas? Torres?
Here.
Trujillo McClure?
Present.
Wood?
Present.
Great. Thank you, Winton. And Zier. Okay. Is there anyone who is here now who may not have heard their name called when I went through roll?
I'm here, Amy. This is Jennifer.
Okay. Councillor Kavka got you. Thank you.
And the parliamentarian is here.
Oh, Adam, yes, thank you very much, Adam Hathaway, for being here.
You're welcome.
Anyone else who may have missed their name during roll call?
Hey, Amy, I'm not part of roll call, but Joellen Ransom is here, ombuds for staff.
Well, thank you, Joellen. We always appreciate ombuds inclusion, so thank you for coming to our meeting.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, thanks, everyone. Joe, quorum has been established.
Okay, thank you. Are there any changes to the agenda? I have one if there are no others. I would like to add to the agenda for new business, add creation of the Sustainability Committee. There's no objection. Okay, I have Mary Phibbs as reading the land acknowledgement. Is she here? Is anyone interested in reading it? I will read it since I have it up. If no one has any objections to that. Founded in 1889, the University of New Mexico sits on the traditional homelands of the Pueblo of Sandia, the original peoples of New Mexico, Pueblo, Navajo, and Apache, since time immemorial. Have deep connections to the land and have made significant contributions to the broader community statewide. We honor the land itself and those who remain stewards of this land throughout the generations, and also acknowledge our committed relationship to Indigenous peoples. We gratefully recognize our history. Has everyone had a chance to read the minutes? Do you approve the minutes?
I move to approve.
Go ahead.
Second.
Without objection, the minutes are approved. Are there any constituent comments? So on to reports. The President's report. You mean that's you, President Amy? Sorry.
Amy is fine, thank you. Speaker Lane or Joe? We can be on first name.
Fine, right? Too.
Okay, we all know who we are, I think. So today was my first full Regents meeting as President, and I wanted to talk to you just for a minute about it, specifically two of the items that came up. First was the fiscal priorities for the next year, and I just wanted to let everybody know that one of the priorities highlighted by President Stoak was staff salaries. And so I want you to know that she and the rest of the administration have been consistent in my meetings with them on really wanting to make sure that staff can have salary increases. And I think that, of course, it's going to depend a lot on the legislature, because, you know, that's where increases come from. Not enough money to pay for them all, but at least some of the money. So we'll definitely want to continue our advocacy to the legislature for that. But I just wanted you to know that they are definitely on our side. The other item that I wanted to talk to you about in the Regents meeting today is actually something that was covered in greater detail in the Student Success Regents Committee meeting last week, and that is the expansion of behavioral health services for students. And I think that that's a really important thing that we're doing on campus, first of all, because I imagine none of us are here at UNM because we don't care, even if we don't have, you know, a job with student contact. My job has no student contact except for the students that I might supervise here and there. But we're all here for students. You know, we're here for students, we're here for research, and for healthcare. And so it's a really important thing
that has had a huge amount of progress made in a really short period of time. The other reason, aside from us, you know, caring about students, is that a lot of this work paves the way for us to increase behavioral health access, because we are not having to convince anyone that this is, we're not having to look at the ways that we measure how overloaded clinicians are or how many clinicians we need, how difficult it can be to get access. So in my discussions with the administration, I continue to talk to them about this, and we're looking at working with CARS, maybe working with HR to make things just a little bit easier for people. And so one thing I want us to do this year, if possible, is really look at all of the things that we're doing for students, look at the things we're doing for faculty, and see what can be repurposed or what can we add ourselves onto, right? So that we're not asking in 6 months to start this whole process over. Some of the other things that I've been working on recently are the COVID-19 leave continues to be a talking point. That is a little bit up in the air when I follow up with everybody. I know that it's been a concern. But with the new guidance released by the CDC on Friday, the administration is still talking that through to see what exactly that's going to look like to UNM and what policies might be updated. So we're going to probably need to see how that all shakes out before we know too much about whether or not COVID leave might return, whether it returns the way it was initially in existence on campus, or, you know, something different. President Stokes, I hope that everybody saw in her weekly message a couple of weeks ago, she did thank staff and acknowledged that a lot of staff had additional leave because they had to cancel trips and vacation time. And certainly, if you haven't taken all of your additional leave and you can take it by the end of the month, please do. There will not be another extension. But concerns over staff losing leave have really driven a conversation that I think is really productive with the administration about in ways to encourage supervisors across campus to let staff take their leave regularly and to make that an easier process. So in lots of areas, it's, you know, not a big deal, but there are some pockets on campus. I bet some of you work in them or know folks that do, where it's really difficult to get leave approved. It's hard. You don't have coverage when you're out. Some supervisors require really cumbersome request processes that go through multiple signatures and have to be routed all around just to take one day off. And so we're talking about ways to make that. The safety forum, I don't know if any one other than HFC folks was able to attend either of the parking and safety. Safety forum, let me take a step back. Covers two things right now. Parking is related to safety, and we have the HFC parking town hall. And the safety forum that we had a couple of weeks ago related to the killing of Muslim men in Albuquerque. Both of those together have really highlighted the need for more information to be put out there to both students and staff. I'm right now talking about staff and not the students. They're doing a good job advocating for themselves on this. To get more safety information, maybe to have a generic or a more broad safety forum. And so there's definitely that suggestion has been well received. I would expect that we'll see something soon for general safety concerns. And those have been, well, let me touch a little bit more on parking before I hand it over. Thanks to our HSC representative, and I'm going to call Sierra Cushing out specifically on this because I know she worked really hard. We were able to get two parking forums to talk about the parking challenges on North Campus because of construction. And I want to assure everyone, specifically, you know, HSC counselors and staff, but really everybody, that it is absolutely accepted that communication did not happen and it made parking a nightmare on North Campus. So there's definitely a mea culpa there. Nobody is denying that that was not a big screw. All of the information that would have been necessary to avoid that was in existence. It just was not being communicated to the appropriate areas to notify students. So I feel very confident that any other parking changes to North Campus are going to be communicated well in advance, that this is not going to happen again, and that our safety concerns surrounding parking are 100% at the front of the minds of the administration and will be addressed. So apologies, I know this report is a little bit off the cuff because I just come from Regents, but I'll stand for any questions if anyone has any. Otherwise, that will conclude our today.
Go ahead, Carla.
Thank you, Speaker Lane. President Ortiz, I just wanted to inform you on the track of mental health for students that is on the forefront of the Adonis, is it intentions. I initially worked with the Heroes and the Office of Community Health, and they work a lot with community health workers. And I had talked about the idea of community health workers working on the forefront with mental health and the students on campus versus like in rural areas where community health workers are usually used. So Adonis, I guess he had seen some research and he came up with this wonderful idea for CHWs on mental health and on campus, something we had already talked about. So we are actually on a project. I and a few other people from the HSC side that work with, who actually have a lot of in-depth knowledge about how to work with and train community health workers. And the purpose is to have them on campus. I am trying to get that expanded for staff. But the pilot will be with students. So it'll be a big initiative, and it does have HSC support. So I can see that coming into play for our staff, especially underrepresented staff. Mm-hmm. And I, so what I really wanted to say was, I'm glad this is on everybody's mind, and hopefully we can get things moving. More considering that some of our resources on campus for staff are lacking. I know that CARS is overwhelmed and they don't get back to people on time. I know the hospital is overwhelmed. Urgent care and emergency is overwhelmed. And there's not a lot of follow-up. There's a lot of issues. We have a high suicide rate in New Mexico with children and young people. So I hope we definitely keep this on the forefront of our minds and let staff know that this is something that UNM is working on.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you, Carla. And what Gina is working on getting me onto Dr. Z. Dennis's calendar. So if you can send me any information that you'd like us to discuss, then that would be really helpful. This is not an issue that is going to be dropped because it is super important to me. I harp on it in every meeting I'm in, and I have explained to everyone I've talked to that I will continue to bring it up in every meeting. I'll tell you a little personal thing. I told my partner that if we can significantly increase behavioral health access for staff this year, that I will not only consider my year as president to have been successful, I will consider my career a UNM too. That's how important it is. Definitely keep all your ideas, Carla, and everybody else. Keep all your ideas coming. We are working with CARS to see if one of the things they might be able to do is to update their listing of referrals to be easier for folks to work with. So, to let them know, is it tier one insurance, tier two insurance, not on UNM insurance? Are these people taking it? You know, to make just some of that basic information that is out there and someone just needs to put together into a centralized place for people to see, that's really going to make it easy. Yes, sir.
Speaker, please. Go ahead, Grace.
Thank you, Joe. Amy, thank you for that report. Carla, I just wanted to sort of add to what you were saying. In addition to CARS, I don't know if Frankie is here and he can add to this, is that I believe the LGBTQ Resource Center also is going to put together another source of resource within the center that can add to what CARS is providing. Theirs, I believe CARS is 6 weeks, theirs is about 8 weeks. The question I would have for Frankie is, can they then transition on to his center's resource, or can they do those in parallel, is the question I would have. So there is that additional resource out there too, while the university figures out how we address this at a larger scale.
So Frankie's not here today, but I did meet with him Friday. I was down at the center taking a tour and talking a bit. They do offer some counseling, but they probably have about twice as many people on a wait list as they can. So for anyone who needs, who's part of LGBTQ community or who is a person of color, we have some other resources on campus that great to try, specifically the psychologist that's over there off of Sigma Chi, I think.
Right. And I don't know if this would help for us. I'm sure these resources are curated somewhere, but can we maybe point to those from our website within staff council, to those particular resources? Amy, I'm sure it's probably there. I just probably don't see it.
I'm sure that we can. Amy Hawkins, I can, if you're not familiar with what, maybe we just added even to our emails as one of the lists, our helpful offices. But yes, it's all, there is a web specific and all of that.
Speaker recognizes Sharina.
I just wanted to add one possible resource that's based in the community that my family has personally worked with. It's called Grief Center of New Mexico, and what was very special about their services that we utilized was that it was directed for children. So if there's one thing about grief for adults, but oftentimes when tragedy hits a family, children need services, and they are excellent. And I can maybe put their website in the chat. And if there is a list of resources that we're compiling, we could even add that. That's all.
Speaker recognizes Amy Hawkins. Sorry, I was muted.
Thank you, Joe. I just wanted to follow up on Grace's comments and suggestion previously about the mental health resources and how staff council can help promote those resources. I have had the mentalhealth.unm.edu link, which Amy Ortiz has put in the chat. I have had that as part of the e-news helpful UNM departments
ever since they came out, basically, since they put that resource together. And now I started sharing that same resource on the very top of the weekly news as well. So hopefully that gets some eyes on it. Thank you.
Are there any other questions for Amy? Or questions? Not seeing, we'll go on to the executive committee report. President-elect Grace.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I don't actually have anything new to add to my last month's report, so I will stand by.
Okay, thank you. It's my report. I just want to remind everybody that keep track of your attendance. After three unexcused absences, you could be removed from the council. Unless there's an excruciating problems that are that you can't control, let us know what's going on and we'll work with you. And I only have one add to a committee, and it's Cindy Mason to the Health Science Committee. So if there's without objection and unanimous consent, I would like to add Cindy to that committee. So are there any questions for me? Not seeing any. We'll move on to the third report. Oh.
Sorry, Joe, this is Mary Clark.
Hi.
I thought I had emailed you and asked to add Frankie McQuarrie to Staff Council Government Relations Committee. I apologize if my communication was not clear.
He's already on here on the list as accepted. Usually what I do is I put a bracket on people
okay.
who didn't, but he's already on.
Thanks very much.
Mm-hmm. Are there any other questions for me? Moving right along, the treasurer's report with Carla.
Hi, I don't have a slide to show you today. I'm sorry, I'm home working. I caught COVID this weekend. I'm home trying to work. But I just want to let everyone know that the operations for staff council operations is pretty much on track. That's Amy usually keeps track of that one, and she does a splendid job of making overseeing that account. And the university staff appreciation has been fully budgeted for $41,500. It's ready. There is no activity on it, but it is ready to go. $41,500 again for staff appreciation. Supervisors Award Program is also fully funded now at $5,793. I think some new funds came in, so that has a nice little chunk of funds in there for the Supervisor Award. So you might start planning for that one coming up, rewards and recognition. Staff recognition award, that is the Gerald May Award. That is now fully funded at $13,023. That also has no activity, of course, because we're just starting our fiscal year and it's just August. Now I think everyone's still starting to make their plans. Again, I just want to emphasize to the group, if you have any projects or events, please get your proposal submitted early. And if you would like to visit our executive council with your proposal or prior to your proposal, you're more than welcome to join us in exec and for discussion. Nothing is ever really has negative things, we encourage everyone, but maybe there's always possibilities if you have a group to consult with. An exec is there for you. And that's it for my report. Thank you.
Thank you, Carla. Are there any questions for Carla?
Frankie has his hand up.
Alright, thank you.
Go ahead, Frankie.
Yeah.
Okay, there you are.
Thank you. Here I am. No questions. I just wanted to wish Carla a speedy recovery.
Thank you. Thank you. I am feeling a little better from Sunday and Monday. So I was totally shocked I got COVID. B5 is totally contagious. So everybody protect yourself. Thank you.
Take care of yourself and get well soon. Off to the committee reports. Rules and elections. Mark?
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. This is Mark Fisher. We did meet actually via Zoom on July 27th at 10 a.m., specifically only to discuss who we would want to recommend to a speaker lane as an appointment for our committee chair. We discussed and we decided that we would offer up myself, Mark Fisher, as our recommendation for appointments by Speaker Lane. And so that's all we talked about. That ends the Rules and Elections Committee report.
Okay, thank you, Mark. The Ethics Committee, report from the Ethics Committee, is that Jessica?
Hello. The Ethics Committee did not meet this month yet, and that's my fault. I messed up the invitations. We're looking into trying to have a meeting next week, but we will definitely be meeting next month and going forward.
Okay, thank you, Jessica. Communications and Marketing Committee? Is Renee here? Or?
Yeah, I'm here. Sorry. I'm trying to do two things at the same time. I apologize, speaker. We've got to run a rheumatology case and then this as well. I apologize. So I had sent the report the other day. We didn't have a huge amount of stuff that was brand new. We would like to present the staff counselor handbook, and I don't know if there's time to do that today, and if not, then we can postpone to next month, if that's okay, because we just wanted to go over what we had in that. We discussed staff council signature line, which essentially is the signature line that we could that everyone who is on staff council can either use with their signatures on their emails or, and we have several different formats when we can email those out to people, if they're interested. And we also discussed the parliamentary training that Adam is going to do for us. And our goals for next month are to, work on the internal policy for procedures and guidelines on communications and marketing for our committee. And Madeline was so kind as to put together the flyer for the parliamentary training series that Adam is going to be assisting us with, and we just need help getting that out for to everyone who might be interested in attending. And that's all that I have.
Are there any questions for Renee at this time? I think we'll have to put you on the agenda for the next meeting to go over the handbook.
That's perfect.
Okay.
Thank you.
Just remind us when we ask for agenda, changes the agenda or just send
okay. It. Sure, I'm still the new kid on the block, and I apologize. So it's still a learning curve, but Grace has been fantastic. I'm kind of blessed in that she's on the committee, so I get to bounce ideas off of her. So thank you.
And also, I've been talking to the library communication and marketing person, and she might be interested in joining your committee.
Great. We would take more people gladly.
Okay.
Even who's in staff council, we could use more people. So
okay.
That would be great. More ideas are really what we thrive on. Because marketing, if people aren't familiar with marketing, it's one of those areas that the more the merrier, really.
And yeah, she has experience.
Mr. Speaker?
Yes, go ahead.
If I may, just to grab a quick instructional second here. So options you also have if the committee did want to present the document, it doesn't have to be noticed to be on new business. When you call for new business, that motion could be made, and motions that come out of committee reports are also in order. So it doesn't necessarily have to be a specific line item in order to be entertained as new business.
Okay, I was just wondering about that also. I think it was kind of too late. Are you prepared to do a presentation now, Renee?
I apologize. No, I'm not. I didn't know what the procedure was on that, so I apologize greatly.
So, okay, that's okay. We'll do it the next meeting then. Go ahead and put it on the agenda. Counselor Feedback Committee, yay.
So there's no one officially in charge of it. I just kind of became the de facto. So I move to discharge the Counselor Feedback Committee based on previous charges that we've had and concluded those, and the sharing of what else we could do moving forward, and no other commentary to actually do that. So
is there a second to that motion?
Second.
Thank you. I'm going to try unanimous consent without objection to discharge that the committee, the Counselor Feedback Committee. Is there any objection? Seeing none, that committee is discharged. Diversity and Equity and Inclusion, Angie?
Hi, we've got a lot of things going on which you can look at in our written report. I just wanted to mention that one of those is looking at all of our staff council documents, the bylaws, election rules, et cetera, for inclusive language. And that's something that Grace is heading up. So if you're interested in that, even if you're not part of the committee, contact Grace. Thanks.
Thank you. Are there any questions for Angie while she's here? Let's see. Government Relations Committee, Mary?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The Government Relations Committee met via email, and we determined that we had no applications for the Staff Council Capital Outlay project, and so with none of those, we determined that we would move forward next year with a better information campaign to staff to let them know that that's available. We're waiting to find out if UNM is going to schedule a UNM day at the Roundhouse. We're hoping that that's going to happen, but it's going to depend on who's governor and if that governor wants to keep the Roundhouse open during the legislative session. We're also hearing drips and drabs about UNM's legislative priorities and the priorities that will be laid out by the Council of University Presidents. For those of you that don't know, the Council of University Presidents includes presidents of all junior colleges and institutions of higher education in the state of New Mexico, and in the past several years, they have unanimously chosen their priorities, which include compensation for all higher ed staff in the state. So we're waiting to hear on that. I think that's it. Also, President Ortiz, I sent you an email about the Federal Public Servant Loan Forgiveness Program. For those of you that don't know, that program has been embellished to include payments that you made to your student loans that previously had not been able to be considered for eligibility. You have to make 120 payments to be eligible. I can forward that information to staff council so you will all have it. You need to get that process started by the end of October. Even if you haven't made your 120 payments, you need to get into the program. FYI, I had my student loans forgiven, and all the payments I made over 120 were refunded to me.
Oh, my gosh.
P.S., all the payments that have been deferred during this time of COVID count to the 120. So, I'll forward it to you all. You need to get on that. And there's someone here at UNM, she works at, I want to say the College of Medicine. She's a finance person at the College of Medicine. She's been advising people on the process. So I'll get all that information and forward it to y'all. And I believe that's the end of my report. Thank you.
Okay, Amy, Speaker recognizes Amy for a question.
Thanks, Speaker Lane. So I obviously did not hit send on my reply to you, Mary, where I was asking the question. But to be clear, this is not automatic. You applied, you filled out your form like I have here that I need to fax in or whatever. And you sent it in, and after you were approved for loan forgiveness, you additionally received that money.
That is correct. So
okay.
There's a form that you fill out that you upload to your loan provider's page, and they start a very slow process of determining how many of your payments are eligible towards the 120, and that takes a while. You also have to part of the process is UNM has to determine your employment, and any other nonprofit that fits into the same description has to determine your employment. And then you sit back and wait and cross your fingers. And then you get the happy email saying that you've met the eligibility for the 120. And then one morning you wake up and you check your bank account and you fall out of bed because there's a lot more money in it than you could have earned in several months. Anyhow, that was my process.
So, Mary, as a follow-up, I definitely think advertising this as a reminder to staff is really important. I am very leery of telling them they're going to get any refunds.
No, you have to go through the whole process. And you have to
I just mean even if they get loan forgiveness. I think we should advertise the program, but maybe not promise that if they're approved, they're getting a refund.
That's fine. And I will provide the woman's name that over at HSC that's been advising people on the process. She's been very open about encouraging people to email her with questions.
Thank you.
I want to say her name's Janelle.
Okay, thank you. The speaker recognizes Jessica for a question.
I just wanted to add on to this because I'm in the process of doing it as well. Do it soon because they came back with questions on mine. And then also, I didn't read it. It's my fault. I sent in electronic signatures. They don't like that. It's old school and they like ink signatures. So do it really, 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 really soon. And I think, Mary, it might be Janelle Fuller who's we're helping.
It might be.
Okay. Just do it, really, really soon before October, because if they come back to you with questions, you don't want to give them any reason not to count it. That's all.
Okay. Thank you. Gilbert?
There you go. On the same note, I was checking my daughter's bursar account. I got a notice that, if you don't make a payment towards the tuition. Anyway, got a nice surprise as well. The governor's opportunities back to school scholarship program has been added automatically to her financial aid. On top of what her financial aid that she gets as the daughter of an employee. So I don't know if you guys have seen that, if you noticed that. I don't think I've seen anything advertised taking place, but it was a nice surprise. It added about $4,500. That's all I have to share.
Okay, go ahead and answer.
Hi, I applied for student loan forgiveness, but I did it through the, I did it online through the Borrower's Defense Act. So I'm wondering if those are two different things, I'm assuming. One is for the 120 months of service and the other is for if you've been defrauded by your previous institution. So I don't know if anybody else has started that process either, but I did apply for that. So, but I'm going to apply for the other one too.
Okay. Okay, thank you. Javier?
Yeah, I just wanted to add to the comments on the PSLF, the public loan forgiveness. There is no guarantee that you'll get money back. It does work. I actually had my student loans forgiven. I had been participating for a long time, so my situation was different because I was already in the process, but I will say to people, it is frustrating and forms, you do have to, they have to be filled out exactly as they tell you. They will reject them for like e-signatures. The date has to be like the 01, 08, 0, and then the 4 year. It's like a lot of stuff, but if people have questions, I would be willing to answer them. And also, that temporary extension, I don't know if you already started this, but it expires in October, I believe. So they have had multiple extensions on this, different things, because it's been sort of backwards is how I would describe it. But if people are interested in that and they have questions, I mean, I'm not the expert, but I went through the process. And it is very real and it is very awesome that someone else shared, like if your loans are forgiven. So just there are a lot of barriers to participating in that is why they extended the forgiveness program. But I believe that extension ends in October, so hurry up if anything.
Okay, thank you. The HSCS committee, Christine.
Christine's not here today, Jill.
The IT committee.
Oh, but Sierra has her hand up.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Sierra.
Hi, thank you. Christine just wanted me to let everyone know that we did not meet this last week or this last month, but we are attending all of the parking forums and safety forums and all of those things and keeping an eye on all the situations and advocating where we can. So just if you have any questions, concerns, anything like that, please reach out to us, and we will be happy to look at it. And we will meet again in September.
Are there questions for you, Sierra, while she's here? I'm seeing none. IT committee? I'm sorry, go ahead, Sarina.
Thank you, Susanne. I did have one question with all the flurries of emails that were going around about the safety discussion. One of them was part of the efforts for safety on campus was having campus blue phones or like emergency phones around, but I looked everywhere on the web and I couldn't find a map of them. So I think if there is one that exists, we should kind of circulate that. There was really an article about it, but I think a map is kind of a logical thing to have for students, and if one doesn't exist, we should make one. And that's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Go ahead, Sierra.
I'm making a note of that. Thank you. That's a very good idea. UNM does hold a safety week in September every year. So I can definitely bring it up as part of that, and if not, in some other way as possible. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. IT committee, Damian?
Yes, we have not had a meeting yet. I'm working to schedule a meeting probably for next month. I was able to solicit a few more guests to attend to then see if they want to join on as a committee member, both some members of staff council and some non-members of just people at large. Still working on getting any further information about the Cherwell Help UNM ticketed issues that people were experiencing. And I think that's about it that I had in there.
Okay, thank you. Are there any questions for Damian? Go ahead, Tony.
This is not a question for Damian, but with regard to the blue phones, I'll put a link in the chat which will provide a map for the blue phones.
Okay, thank you. Are there any other questions? Rewards and recognition, Grace or Yade?
We met last Thursday, and so we have monthly call awards are still out there. We haven't restructured that, but the two main things that are upcoming is I have two event funding requests that I'm going to present. The first one is I move on behalf of the Rewards and Recognition Committee, the Outstanding Supervisor Award funding request, and I'm going to share my screen to show that to everybody. And then open it up for questions if you have any. So the, as Sierra covered, not Sierra, as Carla covered, we have the funds for this award and we propose to hold it on October 17th. It usually aligns with National Boss Day or Supervisor Day. And that's on the 16th, which is a Sunday. We propose to have it the following Monday from 2 to 3 p.m. and estimate volunteers mainly for getting rewards ready and getting leadership on board and everything. Anticipated number of attendees, 45. The Staff Council Awards website does have a more extensive description of the particular award, but Grace and I are submitting this together. It is a reoccurring annual event, and we are requesting funds. It's mainly for leadership. We're requesting $3,150. And the breakdown of that would be to award two $1,000 cash prizes to each of the selected supervisors, as well as plaques to each of those supervisors. And then for anyone who's nominated, a $10 gift certificate to Amazon. The last year, there were 61 nominations. And so I'm just putting in 70 so that we can hope that we get an amazing number of nominations. And so that would put it at a total of 3,150. So I will stop sharing and open up for questions for that funding request.
Is there a motion you want to set?
Yeah, so I did it opening the sharing the budget, but I can repeat it. I move on behalf of the Rewards and Recognition Committee, the Outstanding Supervisor Award funded request be approved.
Is there a second?
I don't think it needs a second because it's on behalf of our committee.
Correct.
Yeah, I second.
Sorry, that's right. Okay. Is there any objection? And with unanimous consent, can we approve this? Thank you. Go ahead, Yede, with your, and now you have more.
Yeah, so there's one other event request. This one does not require any funds. I was talking with Amy over the waffle breakfast that the LGBTQ Resource Center had and mentioned that I do a version of imposter syndrome, and she suggested that I give it to staff since it's in a high-interest area, and then Sharina had heard that I was potentially doing it like it, so I'm moving forward with proposing that it's funded, so it would be a Let's Do Lunch. It would be a one-hour session on Friday, September 30th from 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. Time to not move backwards as much as I wanted to. And so I'm submitting the request. The concept over the imposter syndrome is that we all feel it, and this gives you kind of ways, evidence behind it and why we feel it, but also ways to overcome it. And I present things in a very dynamic question interaction kind of way. And so it would be a let's do lunch. It's not reoccurring. There are no funds to go with it. And it would fit with leadership advocacy as well as DEI, because there are DEI components that underlie who experiences imposter syndrome more. We need to advocate for our own happiness, and then it'll all help, it'll make all of you be better leaders. And so there are no estimated funds. Yes, great.
Yeah, I just wanted to add that perhaps you want to check education, because you are really educating us, right, on how to recognize this symbol.
Happy to check education as well. I have done so. So I move on behalf of the Rewards and Recognitions Committee, the Let's Do Lunch Imposter Syndrome session for September 30th of this year be approved.
I second it.
You don't need to, apparently. without objection and unanimous consent, we'll accept, I hope we would accept the imposter syndrome.
Thank you. And that if there are questions for what else we're doing within the Rewards and Recognitions Committee, I know Amy Hawkins came to us with a proposal for a staff breakfast that would be October 13th, as she's working on updating that funding request. So we'll keep your eyes out for that coming up. You can do it, save the date as long as everything's approved. But otherwise, I have nothing else from our committee.
Okay, we look forward to seeing that proposal. Maybe at least I do, so I'm just kidding. Are there any questions for you today, or Grace?
Speaker, this is Renee Forsyth. So I work as a fellowship coordinator for within GME, and I'm just thinking this is a really great idea to put forth to GME, graduate medical education, because there's a lot of stuff that program coordinators try to inform or educate on, and this would be one of those ideas. So I would, you know, you could talk to probably Dr. Salas, because she's the assistant dean, and she's also, of course, the program director for infectious diseases, but they do a lot on DEI and those kinds of ideals. So thank you.
Thank you. Let's move on to Staff Success Committee. Is Kate here? Or anyone from that committee that can speak to Staff Success Committee? Not seeing anyone. We'll move on to this strategic planning with Grace.
Thank you, Speaker Lane. We did not meet in August, but our goal for next month going forward is to, I think I mentioned this before, to look at the strategic plan as it stands currently for staff council. I'm sure most of you in departments know that you're looking at your own strategic plans and aligning it with the 2040 strategic plan, which is our guiding plan as an institution. So similarly, we will be looking at our own strategic plan and aligning that with the institutional strategic plan.
Okay, thank you. Are there any questions for Grace? For new business, I would have on here is to approve the new committee, sustainability committee. Serena, are you prepared to present that?
I don't know what I need to say.
You could just make a motion that that you would like to start up a sustainability committee. And sorry, Adam.
Sorry, Mr. Speaker. So the details in the charge regarding the committee need to be approved. So they're normally done in a resolution format, or just at least a written format. So how large the committee, what are its actual charges, what's it supposed to be doing, that sort of thing. You wouldn't really have a motion that says, I move that we have a sustainability committee.
If I know we're working, they were working on a resolution or a statement of charge. I don't know if that was good, Amy, or do you?
Yes, Adam, we do have a motion that includes
a charge and it is in written form. So if Sharina doesn't have that ready, I'm happy to put it, you know, share my screen. And...
yes, please. Thank you.
Okay, give me one second. Take it away, Sharina.
I move to create an environmental sustainability standing committee to cultivate a culture of holistic environmental responsibility in alignment with UNM 2040 strategic plan, goal number 4, sustainability, through engaging and committing to the advancement of holistic environmental awareness and sustainable practices by education, research, operations, and community service activities.
Is there a second to that?
Second.
Okay. Discussion? Any discussion? Good, Amy. Yeah, our hand is up. So I don't know if you have a question or.
Sorry.
That's okay. Are there any discussion on this? Not seeing any, I would like to move to unanimous, without objection and unanimous consent to accept this committee motion. It's a, I'll reread the motion. I move to create an environmental sustainability standing committee to cultivate a culture of holistic environmental responsibility in alignment with the UNM 2040 strategic plan, goal number 4, sustainability. Through engaging and committing to the advancement of holistic environmental awareness and sustainable practices by education, research, operations, and community service activities. Is there any objection to accepting this committee? Okay, thank you. Please pick a date when you guys want to meet. Choose a chair and let me know. So I'll have to have the council approve the chairs and the committee members and all that. And I thank you. And moving, is there any other new business that I left out that you want to bring up? Not seeing any. On to the nuts and bolts with Amber Trujillo McClure. Go ahead, Amber.
Let me share my screen real quickly with you guys. Oh, that's not it. Hold on. Wait, can you see? What can you guys see? Can you see my slideshow?
Yeah.
It's the actual PowerPoint. It's not just the presented slide.
Thank you. Initial slides don't record. From the beginning. Okay, here we go. Hi, everybody. I'm Amber Trujillo McClure. I am the Associate Registrar for Records and Registration in the Office of the Registrar. And I'm looking for my notes. I thought today I'd take a few minutes just to talk to you guys about what goes on in the Office of the Registrar. I like to say that we have a 3,000-mile view of the entire campus. Overview. You can see everything and how everything works together. We might not oversee everything, but we definitely see everything. So for other Lord of the Rings fans, it's the one ring that rules them all. Within the Office of the Registrar, there's records and registration, curriculum and residency,
transfer and articulation and athletic admissions. So on main campus, we have part of the records and registration office in the form of the one stop. And then on South Campus is the Student Success and Services Center on South Campus. In addition to that, though HSC Law and the university branches all have their own registrar, but we provide support to all of them. Also, Curriculum and Residency, the other associate registrar, manages that arm in maintaining the catalog and also residency for tuition purposes with students. We have a transfer and articulation arm, also called the DARS committee, or the DARS section, and they work on incoming transcripts and those sort of things. And then athletic admissions, which manages NCAA compliance as well as student-athlete registration. I apologize, I know this is a little small. So within the office that I work in is our registrar, and she's over all of those arms. And then I report directly to her. And then we have an operations manager who manages all the registration coordinators, and there's four of them. As you can see, between Tanya, myself, and these four, we handle all of the registration for the campus, save, you know, HSC Law and the branches. Over at the One Stop, Carolyn Gutierrez manages scheduling with her support, Jennifer Silva. So she manages all the schedule. Our department builds the term, but her department schedules the classes and the rooms. And then there's some helpful links down there if you are interested. This one's really important, the deadlines and semester dates for fall. For curriculum and residency, for curriculum and residency, Michael Rain and Anna Gay, right now we are in the process of getting a new software for the catalog, and it should go live very soon. I think the 29th of August, so you'll be seeing some changes in the catalog through that, and we're really excited about it because it's going to be a much better product than what we have right now. Also, all of the requirements for students who are seeking in-state residency are here, and the deadlines for grabbing that information. And this is really cool. There's also a digital, for those of you who don't know, there's also a digital repository for all of the course catalogs. So if you want to look back as far as 1942, you can see what was in the catalog during that time. Only a small representation is actually on the website. Transfer and articulation, they work closely with admissions and the students. Well, they don't really work with the students, but they work closely with admissions to ensure that transfer credits are coming in and that they're prepared so that advisors can appropriately apply transfer credit, as well as International Baccalaureate and AP coursework. And then athletic admissions. So this is really an important part of our department. FAPE ensures that we have NCAA compliance, which is a huge job for anybody that works in any type of compliance. You can imagine all the moving parts. And she has to specifically certify, review transcripts and schedules for every single student athlete on campus. And so she works really closely with athletic admissions and with our office as well, and with athletic advising. And then I just put a little note here about our important fall dates, getting ready to start a new semester. This is just a blurb of it. You can find the rest, like I said, at that website. But I mostly just wanted to bring some awareness to the office of the registrar, since, you know, I think that sometimes it's a mystery to what we do. We kind of have our hands in a lot of different areas, working with several third-party vendors to include transcripts, and our diplomas are outsourced now so that process can go faster. For our students, we're always looking for ways to increase our ability to quickly process information, process requests from students and faculty and the administration. We also work, like I said, very closely with IT for incoming approvals. And then the most important part of all of our jobs as it spills out into the entire campus is FERPA. We are the FERPA Compliance Office, the Federal Education Rights and Privacy Act, basically HIPAA for education. I'm sure you're all familiar with it, protecting student information. So if you ever have a FERPA question, or if you're ever unsure about what does this fall under FERPA, or why does this fall under FERPA, please reach out. We're more than happy to get you answers, just so that we're always mindful of student information. And so with that, I'll stop sharing, and if you have any questions, I'm glad to ask them or answer them.
Go ahead, Grace, you were first.
Okay.
Thanks, Jill. Thank you, Amber, for that presentation. I like the wondering that rules them all. There's a challenge there, but I don't know what it is yet. We often get requests for, like, student data. How do you do that? What is the exact process for managing requests for data? Mostly coming from the research site.
Okay. So there is a research website. I should have put that up for you. If it's for enrollment data, that would go to the EMRT, Enrollment Management Reporting Team, Val Martinez's team.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's a much broader request for information, I can look up that website and get it to you. But there's a whole area that compiles and also abides by FERPA. A lot of departments get...
Is it the OIA website, Hannah? Is it the one?
The OIA website does have dashboards and enrollment data.
Yeah.
And you can request data there, too?
Mm-hmm. And we have to, even in our area, sometimes request data from OIA. Thank you, Hannah. I remember I was drawing a blank. But, mm-hmm. Again, it's better to ask for that information than try to compile it yourself. Just so that we're making sure that we're covering FERPA concerns.
Okay, the speaker recognizes me.
You recognize yourself?
My question is, I had a work study student. He graduated, and we wanted to hire him as temp staff for the summer, but it seemed to take a long time for him to get his transcripts onto HR, and we were like a month late in hiring him, so he could only work a few weeks before he went on to his real job. Is there a way of speeding that up? But I know that's also outsourced, I understand.
Well, it's not that that's so much outsourced, is that, like, so to yesterday, the final certification list was due for summer, even though grading ended a week and a half ago. And so they're not going to start awarding degrees until next week. And the awarding process can take up to 10 days. And so until all of the departments turn in their lists and their lists are correct, we have to audit them all and then do that. So the long answer is it's not so much that it's outsourced, that it's just an incredible volume of work and it takes a lot of moving parts to get it done. Having said that, sometimes students need employment letters right away. And their advisors are typically able to provide that letter to the student. And we've used that for students to get into grad school, to start jobs, to sit for testing, that kind of thing. So that's the workaround that we have in the...
Okay, that's good to know. So I'll probably do this in the future. It's just that we were kind of amazed that we had to wait so long.
Yeah.
Asking for a letter, I think. Hopefully, our HR department will accept the letter. Have you experienced that with our own HR department?
I can't say that I have within my experiences. I just know that students often request that letter, and it seems to suffice until we conclude awarding.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
Angie? Go ahead, Angie.
Oh, I was just going to add, I know we have someone from HR here, but when I've done that, the unofficial transcript has been fine within UNM with HR, you know, when the timing is an issue. And, you know, that just digitally, it hasn't been a problem. So maybe work with your HR rep.
Yeah, you can work with your HR rep as well. But just so you know, that the degree will not show on the unofficial transcript either. But, you know, so. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Are there any other questions for Amber? Sorry. Thank you for doing this, Amber. It was informative, I think, for all of us. Counselor comments? Are there any counselor comments? Are there any? Go ahead and get in.
So one of my coworkers, who's also one of my constituents, brought this up, and I thought I'd share it to also see where the conversation can go from it, was to offer to work with PATHS to figure out a way to offer a close on-campus parking spot to pregnant staff. And it doesn't have to be the entire time during their pregnancy, but there have been some that are worried that if they are having to go frequently for appointments or if they are near the end and they're going to give birth to a child and they have to go wait for a shuttle and then take it somewhere, then that's a little bit of not as time sensitive as you want it to be. So maybe having a few designated parking spots around campus that can be given to staff who are pregnant and only during, I mean, you can have a doctor's note, that one's not hard to get, and have it only during a certain time frame, but that was an idea presented to me. And then another comment as well from a constituent was the advisors, and I'm not sure if they want something to come from it or more as an FYI, but I'm just going to read it verbatim because it makes it a little bit easier to streamline it. But they said they're reaching out, at least on the end, from advisors. They had a last-minute shift from a 3-2 work schedule to a 4-1 schedule for the fall semester. Up until last week, they anticipated 3-2 schedule, 3 days on campus, 2 days from home for the fall, and that some advising units were already on that schedule. But last week, they had the switch from 3-2 to 4-1, and that's kind of causing – they had been building their fall schedule based on that already. And so they were bringing it to my attention as of now. I have followed up to see what they want to come of it, but I wanted to share it. And they said it sounds like the change is coming from OAS, but it's unclear as far as the details. That's all I have to say.
Thank you. Also, you could probably write a resolution for the pregnancy parking. Or Amy could bring it up with the president or administration. That's something we could talk about. Go ahead, Jennifer.
Just so you know, when I was pregnant, I was able to get a temporary handicap pass for UNM. So that is an option for pregnant women, and it really, really helped. So they do allow that.
Well, it sounds like it's already in place. We just need to get people to know. Thank you so much for the information, and I will share it.
Sure.
Thank you, Jennifer. Go ahead, Serena.
I also, on the same note, I had a temporary handicap pass for even postpartum, and that is not just for UNM, but for the whole city and everywhere, because sometimes we need it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. Are there any other comments from counselors? Is there anyone who would like to do an introduction of yourself? Seeing no one, thanks for everybody for coming. The meeting is adjourned. Have a nice weekend.
Thank you.